It's time for Retro Talk with Retro Rose here on
WXPM
on 98.5
FM.
This is Retro Rose with another episode of Retro Talk. Joining me are my co-hosts, Kevin.
Hi, I'm Kevin from Peg Warmers.
And Mike.
Hi there, I'm Michael from The Bro Show, hashtag Just Bro It.
Just Bro It. And who's that in the little corner next to you, Mike?
Oh, that would be Alf. He's hanging out with us today. I don't know if our people might know who Alf is. Alf, why don't you say hi? Hey there, hi there, ho there! I'm the Alfster, and I'm here to make sure you have a lot of fun today.
Alf's one of my favorite friends, but I won't let him near my cats. He's not near the cats.
You got cats? Oh my gosh, I need a snack. Bring them on over.
Oh, no, 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 no. Alf doesn't get a cat. I'll give him a dog instead.
You can't forget about producer Tony in the basement.
Yeah. Tony's in the basement. And this episode is going to be about anniversaries this year. Is there a lot of anniversaries this year?
There's a few. There's a few going out there this year. Movies, TV shows, things that we just remember because we're a little bit retro ourselves.
You're retro. I'm not retro. Mentally, I'm only 14.
That makes a lot of sense in this day and age now.
Really does make a lot of sense, doesn't it?
I think I'm like a 12-year-old maybe trapped in a 49-year-old body. What about you, Kevin?
I'm going to say 10.
10? Okay.
I can see that. And the reason why I say that before we even get to this anniversary episode, I've seen pictures of Kevin on a Thundercat Big Wheel. Get that, right? Yeah.
What?
Thundercat Big Wheel.
Oh, I want to see this.
That's not an anniversary, but it's definitely a throwback.
I was pretty young. That's probably my fourth birthday.
Yeah, I need to see that. I'm going to be looking for that. Yeah.
So starting with anniversaries, we're going to start with the television shows we remember. Some of them we don't remember as much, but others we do. We're starting from the 1960s. Here is a list of them. I'm going to throw some out, and I'm going to let the guys throw some out. In 1964, Johnny Quest came out.
That was a fun cartoon.
That was a fun one.
That's one of those ones I actually own a DVD set of all the originals.
You're going to have to tell a little bit of the story of that because I didn't really watch Johnny Quest. I know. It's
Johnny Quest was one of those like adventure shows that felt like one of the movie serials from back in like the 20s and 30s. It had like a cliffhanger before each commercial break and such, and it had actually high quality animation, and it was basically a doctor, his son, their other adult that was there, Race Bannon, and Haji that was there. And then they had their dog that looked like it was on cocaine. And that would be Badger. Like, I don't know. He just looked like he was on something. But it was just a fun show.
Was that a thing back in 1964? There were certain drugs that wasn't even around in 1964.
I don't know.
Because it's like 60 years old, for those that don't know. Johnny Quest was 60 years ago, but Mike's not really that old. He just watched reruns, okay?
Yeah.
And another show that was from 1964 was Daniel Boone. And my mom watched that religiously when I was a kid. It was all reruns, but I remember watching it because the theme song was like, Daniel Boone was a man, was a big man. Do you guys remember that?
I half remember that one.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. My mom used to watch it every... I mean, we wanted to watch cartoons. She was wanting to watch Daniel Boone. What are you going to do? And then I never really watched too much of it. You guys can boo me that are listening, but Flipper is a 60-year-old anniversary this year. Yeah, there you go.
I knew it was coming.
To watch Flipper and Lassie on like Nick at Night or Nickelodeon, you know, the late night broadcasts on cable.
It seemed like in the 60s and even a couple of years, you know, a couple of days before that, you would have animals be the main star, not the stars themselves. So
just
you had Lassie,
like Lassie
Flipper.
Yeah.
But you had Mr. Ed and other shows mm-hmm. like that, similar, you know, just kind of stuck out there. So, you know, for Flipper.
Something tells me that really wasn't Mr. Ed talking, though. That was someone talking for Mr. Ed.
I would hope so. Or that'd be amazing.
That would be amazing. So another one that's turning 60 this year is The Addams Family.
Oh. Da-da-da-dun. 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 Da-da-da-dun.
They're ookie and they're kooky. I'm not going to go through the whole song, but we'll let Mike sing that one.
Oh, gosh, no. I don't know that one off the top of my head.
And Going to another show that is 60 years old this year is Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
That's one of those shows that used to run a lot on the Sci-Fi Network when it first came out, and that's where I got introduced to it. It's an Irwin Allen show that ran and was produced by him, who also did Lost in Space and a bunch of other disaster movies.
Oh, was that him?
That was him.
Yeah, because he actually did not only Lost in Space. I know because I love Towering Inferno.
Yes.
And I know he did that. And he did actually the Poseidon Adventure. He did all those, right?
Yep. He was really good at making those edge of the seat your shows or movies or whatnot on a budget, and it still looked and felt fantastic, and it had great actors in all of them too, so it was just fun.
Now that's educational, because I did not know that Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea was actually directed by him.
The bro show full of useless
yeah.
facts.
Yeah. And then 60 years ago, Gomer Pyle.
Well, golly, Sarge, I don't know if I can do that.
And Kevin, you want to branch in with that one, say something?
I've never really seen Gomer Pyle.
You never watched Gomer? You watch the Andy Griffith Show?
I do. I am familiar with the Andy Griffith Show.
So you know where it branched off from then. And so 60 years ago, Bewitched. Oh, Bewitched this year.
No, I'm wiggling my nose. You just can't see it.
He's twitching his nose.
You're not as cute as Samantha was, though.
No.
Yeah, no.
Samantha was adorable. And The Monsters. I love The Monsters.
The Monsters?
Yeah. I'm saying it wrong, aren't I? The guys are laughing at me. So when you hear these bloopers, this is my character shining through.
You guys actually had Butch Patrick at RetroCon the one year.
We did. Yeah, we did.
Eddie Munster.
Yep.
We did have him. And Gilligan's Island, 60 years ago.
Love Gilligan's Island.
I actually had a toy from Gilligan's Island when I was a kid. It was the Fisher-Price one where the island floated and it had all the characters and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, literally, you take it in a tub as a kid, and that's what you played with. So,
I have memories of a friend of mine who had a swimming pool when we were kids. We would sit on like an inner tube on the sides and try to rock the inner tube across the pool while singing the theme song and see how far we could get without falling.
That actually sounds like a fun game.
You know, I've seen the figures you're talking about, yeah. Mike, but you know what the biggest memory for me is? 1978, we went to Florida, my mom, dad, and us. We went to Georgia and Florida, and we stayed with his aunt and uncle. And the entire trip, I remember every day Gilligan's Island was on. And we were right next to the ocean, so it seemed more real for me because I was only like 7 years old, and I'm like, where is the SS Minnow?
Right. You
know? We're right there. We're right next to the ocean. Where is this Minnow at? But I'm seeing it on TV every day while we're there, and I'm thinking, where is Gilligan? Where's the skipper? You know, 7 years old. What are you going to do?
You were worried about them. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I was like looking for them. We were right next to the ocean. We collected seashells. I was 7 years old, and I'm thinking, where are these guys, you know? And then 1974, we're going to jump some years here. And Devlin came out. If you're an animation fan like we are, that was a great show. Michael Bell actually did some of the voice for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then there was 1974, Valley of the Dinosaurs. And if you guys can think of anything while I'm talking about this, please chime in.
That's just a year before I was born.
Oh my gosh. He's old school.
I'm very old school.
Can you guys hear me? He's very old school.
I was born right in the smack dab middle of the 70s.
74 was also when the Planet of the Apes TV show came out.
My gosh. And I love the Planet of the Apes. I'm a big fan.
They had the Mego toys, and the lunch boxes, so much merchandise. That was,
again,
a well merchandised movie pre Star Wars.
Right.
I probably shouldn't say this, but you're just so damned ugly.
Yeah. Oh my
gosh. Talking about costumes, I've always wanted to do a Planet of the Apes costume.
Could see that. I could see you in a monkey suit there.
I could do it. I could do it. And then The New Adventures of Gilligan's Island. Or Gilligan, it says, in 1974 came out.
Hanna-Barbera. I was going to say, isn't that a space cartoon?
No, there was a space one, too, but this one actually
was
just The New Adventures.
That's right.
And this was Hanna-Barbera. There was Hong Kong Phooey.
Hong Kong Phooey. Number one super guy. Voiced by Scatman Crothers.
That was Scatman Crothers, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if we're going to talk television shows, you know, like regular primetime shows, Rockford Files was 1974.
Cool car.
Another cool show that came on Saturday mornings was Land of the Lost, 1974.
that I watched as a kid. It was more reruns, but that was a fun show.
I grew up on the 90s version, but yeah. I have seen some episodes of the original.
The Steve Stacks.
Tony's got some toys of that. He's in the basement still, guys.
He's holding up a whiteboard. What does it say? I can't
tell. Tony, in the basement.
It says call the police.
Tony in the basement. And then 1974, one of my other favorite shows came out was The Muppet Show. Dun 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 dun. Let's get things started. With the great, I can't even remember all that.
Let's get things started on the most sensational, most mutational, uppetational, muppetational.
This is what we call our Muppet Show. Now we've lost several listeners. All right, so that was 1974. And we're going to continue with these shows we were talking about and try to hit some more of the other ones that we really, really love. I mean, not that we don't love them all, but there's some that we love more than others.
There was like only so people. Many hours in a day you could watch
only
TV.
Only so many hours. That's the thing. And only so much time that we can spotlight. So please forgive us if we missed something that you loved that had an anniversary this year. We're going to pick up with Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, that was one of my first crushes. I'm not going to lie. Little Laura Gilbert, for whatever reason.
Melissa Gilbert?
Melissa Gilbert playing Laura Ingalls. Yeah.
Like, see, now I got to correct somebody. There you go.
I put the two together. They're the same person, but different. But yeah, that was one of my first crushes. You know, that braided hair and just running through the field. Yeah. That's my little eight-year-old heart jump.
And Michael Landon seemed like such an awesome dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I heard that. I listened to a lot of documentaries, and I heard that he used to like to put a frog on in his mouth, and he'd go over to the kids and he'd go like that, stick his tongue out, and there'd be a toad or a frog in his mouth. I'm surprised he didn't get any warts from that one.
Oh my gosh!
And if his wife would even kiss him after that, I know he was a handsome fellow, but he had a frog on his tongue. Come on,
just ew. Yeah,
this actually supposedly happened.
I can see it. I can totally see it.
And I guess at one point I was listening to this documentary where he was having like a fight with the mom that plays Little House on the Prairie, you know, Carolyn Ingalls. And he tried to give her a little bit more of a passionate kiss to make up with her. And she was like, don't pull that with me. You may be Michael Landon, but
no.
I'm still irritated with you. So, anyhow, going on to the next thing from 1974, Good Times.
Good Times. Good Times. That was a good show.
Yeah, that was. I liked Good Times too. And oh gosh, if Tony was out of the basement, I'd have him say something. But he's not here. He's in the basement. So let's go on to Happy Days. We all know Happy Days.
Happy Days was a fun show.
1 o'clock, classic. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4. Isn't that how the song goes?
Monday, Sunday.
Oh yeah,
happy
that's
days.
Right. It's
Tuesday, Wednesday.
You know, I'm
happy
getting
days,
the original
Thursday,
Rock Around the Clock.
Wasn't yeah, it was
because,
similar to that.
Because
yeah.
The first season, I think it was Rock Around
I
the Clock.
I think you're right.
The first season was Rock Around the Clock, and then they made their own.
Yeah.
After that.
And what was great about Happy Days? It was a retro show, in what we consider retro now. Like it was set in the 60s or 50s,
the
50s actually.
Yeah.
So and it gave you a little bit of a Americana slice, but. Contemporary, and it was fun at its time.
Yeah, and it's actually something that as it got later in the seasons, it didn't even feel like the 50s anymore. If you ever watched all the way through it,
mm-hmm.
It feels like it becomes more modern, like the 70s, or like there was a 10-year time jump or something, late 70s, early 80s. Because if you look at what Joni looked like whenever Joni Loves Chachi came out, it looked like it was probably like the 80s. And it probably should have been like the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't look like the time period. When you see the clothing they wear and the hair they did, it just looked like a different time period. You ever notice that?
I did. And one thing about Happy Days, too, that I think about is the fact that it gave us kind of like the two biggest stars, or one big star and one big meme out there today. The biggest star was Robin Williams, premiered on there with as Mork, as mm-hmm. a time-traveling alien.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we got Jump the Shark.
Yep.
The literal Jump the Shark moment happened on that show.
Because they really did Fonzie jump the shark.
He jumped the shark.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's cheesy yet fun at this time.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't mean to cut
you. You can't even like mention that show without talking about all the stuff Ron Howard has gone on to do.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
Cocoon
the kid star
of
the show
ones.
Went to all the stuff he's directed.
Yeah, and he, like I just said, Cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Howard.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, he just directed the Muppets documentary that's on Disney Plus right now, too.
Oh, did he? Okay, yeah. Now see, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah, and it's very good. And he goes from that, but he also started off on a show that was a spin out of the beginning of Gomer, which was Andy Griffith's show.
Yep, the Andy Griffith, yep.
But his first show, or first big role, was in The Music Man with Robert Preston.
Oh, okay.
So he sings the Wells Fargo song. Anyway, sorry, that
Mike's
was
Mike's educating us. And if we jump to 1984, some of the shows our parents might have been watching was Murder, She Wrote. She wrote a murder.
I love Murder, She Wrote. Angela Lansbury is fantastic.
Yeah.
She's actually Mrs. Potts, too.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite movie of all time.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Yeah.
And The Cosby Show.
Wow, yeah.
The less we say, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Night Court.
Oh, do-do. Which gave us so many great actors at its time, too. Harry Anderson, Marky Post was on there. You had Bull Shannon, who was played by...
Tony's actually got the doll of that.
No. Tony in the Basement? Does.
Tony in the Basement has actually got one of the dolls. Is it a bull? The bull puppet, yeah. Yep. Bull puppet.
My grandparents were actually on TV one time and were the, like, people pulled out of the audience for the guy who played the judge, Harry, to do a magic trick with them. And he tore up a dollar bill and taped my grandfather's fingers together with electrical tape. And at the end of the whole thing, he had the dollar bill taped back together with the electrical tape.
That's
super
fantastic.
Weird, but really cool. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's actually really cool. Oh my god, oh, that's, where's that dollar bill now?
My grandfather had it. One of my cousins inherited it when my grandfather passed away. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's really interesting too. Amazing information. And all right, so Hunter from 1984. Charles in Charge. Charles is in charge. Really. Oh,
Charles in charge of our days.
You gotta sing it a little louder so everybody can
hear. No,
I really kept that. Like, that franchise launched so many
really
shows, and they
out.
Just
yeah.
kept producing content with actors, you know, still playing in the same role. It's amazing. Like, there's like a whole universe of Happy Days there.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's Miami Vice was 1984.
Don Johnson.
Punky yep. Brewster, 1984.
I loved Punky Brewster.
Oh, yeah.
V was
1984. V was... Okay, I have to tell a quick
Mike's
story.
Mike's got a story.
I got a story about V. V.
You can tell the story.
V is one of those miniseries, one of those movies that I watched as a kid on TV, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, this is so cool. But when I got to, and this is a spoiler, this is the plot twist, when you find out that the aliens are lizards, that's cool, but that they eat people... I got so scared by that I have to sleep with a sheet over me to this day to protect me from the V aliens from eating me.
Here's a funny story that I have to tell. My dad was a sci-fi geek. He's like what we are today. He was in the 80s. Before it was cool to be nerdy, my dad was definitely a nerd. So my sister and I had pet mice, and when he would watch the V, he'd go around and put our pet mice above his, like he was going to eat them. And he would open it and say, watch this, Rose. Ah. He was lucky that they didn't drop a turd while he was doing that. But he used to do that just to torment us kids. He'd say, watch this, I'm going to eat your mouse. Ah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, he was a nerd. He loved all those shows. He could have fit right in with us, like 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, back then it wasn't so cool, you know, but he was around us kids. He didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, so if it was like V, if it was Star Trek, if it was Star Wars, Muppet Show, my dad watched all those shows. And he loved to play. So whenever he got a chance, you know, he was playing with those lightsabers. He would battle with my mom, batter in the butt occasionally. But, I mean, he was
the old
cool
wiffle,
before.
Wiffle bat type
yeah.
ones.
Yeah, you know, before it was cool, he was being cool, you know, so.
He taught you well.
Yeah, he taught me well. But he did do that, and I just remember, I wanted to mention that with V, that he would hold a mouse over his mouth all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't tell you all the gross things he used to do. And, 1984, Who's the Boss?
Oh, that
Angela.
Was...
Angela.
Yo, Angela, listen, I got to go ahead and vacuum the drapes here, right here, because it makes it go faster. You know, oh, that was a great show.
And Highway to Heaven.
Michael Landon again.
Michael Landon.
With one of his co-stars from Little House on the Prairie.
Exactly. Mr. Edwards. And 1984, some of the cartoons you might have seen on Saturday morning. Let's get to those cartoons.
Now this you're in our wheelhouse.
We really want to go.
Yep.
But we're actually going to take a break. Remember the music? Remember the movies? Remember the cars, the fashions, the news, the things that stood out during our youth? It's okay to be nerdy. Join me as I reminisce over the cartoons, the toys, and the video games of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Turn back the clock with Retro Talk.
Weekends on 98.5 XPM's Million Dollar Weekend Lineup.
We're back with Retro Talk. Let's continue with those cartoons we remember. And starting out, of course, is Transformers. And if you listen to our last episode, you'll know that we're big Transformer fans. Do you guys want to share any more memories? I know Saturday morning for me, the first air weekend of 1984 when it first aired, I was sitting in front of the TV on that Saturday morning watching More Than Meets the Eye.
The transforming sound effect is one of the most iconic 80s sounds. It's like the lightsaber from the 70s to me. There's like a, I can't even do it, but the kind of noise.
Yeah.
Actually, I can pretend like I'm transforming. Do the robot. For those that remember the robot.
I agree. That sound there alone is like very ingrained in our soul at this point. I think we know it when we hear it, especially in the first Transformers Live movie that came out. They did it once, only once in that movie, and it was at the very beginning when Black out or whatever transform, but I was like, oh my god, they did it. So yeah, the original cartoon, I just remember that first three-parter, and it took 3 weeks to see it. Yeah. And I was like, they're really making me wait to see the rest of this story. And I'm like, this is, I love this.
Do you want to know my first memory of Transformers? My very first memory was before the cartoon even came out. I remember being at the drugstore with my mom and seeing the Jets and thinking, oh, these are cool toys. But that was before there was, before I ever watched the cartoon, that was before, because I don't know if you guys remember, but the toys came out before the cartoon did. So you could be going around the toy store and seeing these new toys, and it's like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know?
Right.
But you didn't know what it was. I saw the toys way before I actually saw the cartoon. And then when I saw the cartoon, I watched the Saturday morning episode of it, but I didn't really follow the cartoon until I started reading the comic. I went to get a comic book, and I think it was, this was like issue 19 where I got my first Transformer comic. And for me, it was like, I liked the comic before I started watching a cartoon. And it's almost like that now. I like the books more than I do the movies a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way. I was drawn to the comic, and then it was the cartoon that really grabbed me after that. But I do have the memories of it the first weekend it aired.
Yeah, same here. And like with the comic, I always considered the comic book the real story and the cartoon the fun story. But then it switched for me as I got older, and I was like, you know what? No, the cartoon is the real story, and the comic book is just a separate universe or whatnot.
Yeah, it was even with the G.I. Joe.
Same thing.
You know, it, and that's not an anniversary thing, but it was the same way. The comic book for me was more serious than the cartoon. But if we go by the storyline of G.I. Joe, I love the storyline better of the comic than I do the series.
The voice acting on both G.I. Joe and Transformers was fantastic. Like, the cast they got, and it's mostly the same cast, but they just did such a phenomenal job on that show, making you, like, fall in love with these characters that are just flat drawings on the screen.
Right.
So, another show that almost intermingles because a lot of the actors are the same from Transformers and G.I. Joe is Voltron. That came out in 1984.
From days of long ago.
From uncharted regions of the universe.
Comes a legend. Yeah. Voltron was one of those ones that, I don't know, I get misty-eyed when I watch it now. When I hear that intro just pop up, even in like a YouTube searching through stuff or whatever, it makes me go, I don't know, it's almost like primal. It just sits there for you.
There was something so cool about it, too, because like anime was so like rare in that era. Like I didn't get to see Speed Racer as a kid. Really, Voltron was my first
anime, yeah.
Anime of yeah. that style, and we didn't even have the word anime yet to describe it, but it was hard to like imagine shows like that,
right,
you know, in that era.
So can I ask you guys a question? And people that are listening will probably have their own favorites too. My favorite character was always Lance. How about you and Mike? How about you, Kevin and Mike, I should say? Pointing at Kevin, and no one knows I'm pointing at him.
I had the Hunk action figure as a kid from the Panache Place Voltron, the ones that you could yep. fit inside the lines. So Hunk's kind of always been my favorite.
I'm kind of torn. It's either between Pidge and Princess Allura, actually. I like the fact that you had a female character that was strong that kind of took over to be a pilot at the time, and it just stood out to me like, this is unique for this show, for our genre at the time. You had like G.I. Joe characters that were strong female characters, but you didn't have any real female characters in Transformers. Here you are, you have a princess who's fighting, kind of like Princess Leia in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. She drove the Blue Lion, and she actually participated, actually led the team from time to time.
Yeah,
I like that.
She actually took over for Sven, and then... I liked LOTOR a lot, too. I should yeah. mention that, too. Oh, I always love the bad guys.
And then Pidge, of course, because small kid, smart kid with glasses. Yeah, that was me.
So other cartoons that you guys might remember from back in 1984 on Saturday mornings was the Snorks.
Love the Snorks.
Oh, I love the
These
Snorks,
These are little
too.
Little sea monkey type guys that had like an antenna out of that, a snorkel.
Yeah, it's yep.
and
like,
little goggles
yeah, snorkel.
On.
Yeah, it yep. was kind of like, and I don't know if the snorkels were just kind of like... For breathing?
Hard I mean, to say, but yeah. it was a fun, just very cutesy, like the Smurfs. Just
almost like of, the Smurfs, yep. yeah.
They were underwater very Smurfs.
And
that's what they
honestly,
were.
Honestly, they were voiced by a lot of the same guys that did the Smurfs, too.
Yep.
I know Michael Bell was one of the main characters. What was his name? Star something. I can't remember now. People will get me for not remembering that one.
I don't think I can name a snork if I try.
No, I just know what they look like.
Yeah,
I know it was Hanna-Barbera. But anyhow, that was really cute. And Pink Panther and Sons was 1984.
I remember that.
Muppet Babies.
I love the Muppet Babies.
Oh, hold on.
Muppet Babies,
we make our dreams come true.
All right, now we've done lots of more listeners.
Every episode, like every Saturday, I would cross my fingers that it was going to be the episode that had the Star Wars clips in
yes.
it. Yes. You know, because they would sort of parody different movies.
Yeah,
and
like
they would
they
open...
Did.
Closets and have actual footage, and I just kept hoping, but it was in syndication for like 65 episodes.
Right,
the chance of seeing one again was slim.
Yeah, they used to do that. I remember that now. They would open a door and it would be like something live,
like
right?
a TIE fighter or a lion. Yeah. It's always something that's kind of scary, and Gonzo would slam the door shut.
I until you mentioned that, I totally forgot about that. But you're right; it used to have some live scenes in mm-hmm. it.
That's one of those shows I wish we had the physical media of, like the complete series on DVD, but we'll never get it because of the rights issues.
It's now, a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had her last year, and we mentioned RetroCon a little bit ago. But last year we had Katie Lee, and she sounds just like she did. Wasn't it Ralph? She did.
I think it was Ralph, maybe
from
Skeeter.
The Muppet. Skeeter?
Ralph.
Was it Skeeter
was Ralph.
Or Ralph? It was Ralph. And I know that she has this little voice, just like she did all of her characters. You know, she has this tiny little voice. But one time I was hanging out with her at a restaurant, and she was getting on to her teenage daughter about something. And she says, "And I mean what I say." And she had this little tiny voice. And I was like, how can you take a mother serious like that?
That's, that's like the cop.
She'd sound like talking to a gummy bear or something.
Like the cop in Police Academy.
With yeah.
the tiny voice. She
Listen
says, don't make me mad. So it was really funny. You know, she's adorable, though. She's a sweetheart. She was actually dressing up for the convention and everything.
Yep.
Such a riot. And now we're going to go on to another cartoon that I used to watch a lot on Saturday mornings, Pole Position.
You know what? It's funny you mention that. I'm actually doing, right at this moment, the last few weeks, every Saturday morning, I'm watching two cartoons just for Saturday morning feels. One is Dungeons & Dragons. The other is Pole Position. I just watched episode 6 this morning, and I know the theme song. You know, it's Pole Position. It's just fun. It's a fun show, but we never got toys from it.
Oh, no, but there was, you know, the games. And
they
everything.
Had the games
yeah,
and stuff, but
games.
We never got the toys of the vehicles.
No, but I will say another great show that came out in 1994 for animation-wise, Gargoyles.
Fantastic.
I love that show.
That was one of those zeitgeist shows almost that you didn't expect to come from Disney, because it was actually fairly dark.
Yeah.
It was very methodical. It was very Shakespearean, but it was so well done. And I even the later shows that weren't so good were still great.
So many Star Trek cast members as voice actors in that show.
Yes.
And around that same year, which we're going to be taking a break soon, and we'll at some point we'll play this song before the show is over for today. Friends came out in 1994.
Was that a show? I don't know. Was that a show of some kind?
Let me tell you a secret, Michael.
Uh oh.
I'll be here for you.
You'll be here for me?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I'll be here for you.
I'll be here for you too, Rose. Yeah.
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 Kevin, are you going to be here for us?
I'll be there for you.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Will Basement Tony be here for us?
Basement
on the cue card?
Tony will be here. He's shaking his head. He doesn't know if he'll be here for us. And there's a show that I never really watched, but I love the name of it. My So-Called Life. This is pretty much...
I remember watching that.
This is So-Called Me. You know, Claire Danes. My So-Called Life.
Yep. There's a lot of actors on that show that have gone on to do great things. Like Claire Danes did really well. You've got Ruiz Pascal, I think, or whatnot. I forget who he is. He was playing like the closeted friend and whatnot. And now he's gone on and done like a lot of different shows, including Star Trek Discovery recently.
And speaking of Star Trek, Babylon 5.
Babylon 5.
Yeah,
yes.
Babylon 5.
A lot of people think that's like a poor man's Deep Space Nine, but I think it's a really great show still, with like Bruce Boxleitner, Claudia Christian on it. It's so well done.
And now we're going to start hitting some of the movies.
I need some popcorn for that.
Need some popcorn.
Hey, I need some popcorn too. Alf, you settle down.
All right, well, we're going to hit the 40th anniversary ones first. We're probably going to go like a little random, hit different ones. Like 40 years ago, Footloose.
Oh, I can't sing that one. I can dance it, but I can't sing it.
If he was going to sing.
They're closing that high school and they invited Kevin Bacon to the final prom in that gym.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool. And he showed up, didn't he?
Yeah, the school year.
That's awesome.
Splash was 40 years ago.
Really?
Yep. Splash, wow. If believe it or not, 40 years ago. Police Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we were just talking about, you know, Squeaky Voice.
And then Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Which is a prequel.
Yep.
Technically.
Mm-hmm. And Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Now, I think Kevin was just mentioning this the other day, or was it you, Mike, that mentioned to me about...
I'm a big fan of...
texted me in or said something about it. You mentioned Spock.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen Spock?
Where is he?
Ghostbusters. Gotta love Ghostbusters. 40 years, Ghostbusters. Gremlins, which Tony and I just watched Gremlins yesterday at the drive-in. 40 years for Gremlins.
Those two movies came out on the same day, if I remember right. And it was a crazy time in the movies, because if you were a geeky kid, a nerdy kid, what do you choose?
I had a Gremlins color form as a kid. And it wasn't brand new. Like, I got it at a yard sale or something like that. But it creeped me out. I hadn't seen the movie yet, but just the little gremlin-y... vinyl decals was enough to creep me out. I can't imagine seeing that as a real little kid.
I think I told you guys this story before, where my mom and dad wouldn't let me see Ghostbusters. They thought it was going to be too intense. But then they took me to see Gremlins.
Wow.
With an exploding gremlin in the microwave.
Go figure.
Ghostbusters was just one of those perennial films that to this day sticks out. It's had so many sequels. It had so many follow-ups. Yeah. And then you have a song that you can't get out of your head. Who are you going to call? You say that to anybody, you know what the answer should be.
And Last Starfighter. I want to mention that because we've mentioned RetroCon a couple times. Now we're going to mention it again because we are having a Last Starfighter reunion. We're having...
Lance Guest, the actual pilot himself.
And we're having Catherine Mary Stewart.
That's right. I cannot wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun reunion year. Like I said, we already mentioned Happy Days. We're having Last Starfighter, and I don't want to be quoted wrong, but isn't $6 Million Man, is it a reunion this year, or is it an anniversary this year? What year did $6 Million...
The show started this year. The movies came.
Oh, okay.
The show series
started this year. Okay, that was my Tony in the basement. Let me know. So if you
let him out
little
briefly.
Voice... in your head, that's my husband. Let's see.
Wait, Tony's talking in people's heads?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-oh. If you hear this little voice in your head, that's not only your conscience, that's my husband speaking to you, saying, hey, get off your butt and get something done. That's what he says to me. No, joking. Anyhow, Revenge of the Nerds. Places in the Heart was one of my favorites. It's a kind of a drama movie. Mm-hmm. And The Terminator. Terminator. That's an
anniversary. I'll be back.
A classic.
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Absolute favorite horror movie of all time.
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. I could watch that every day if I needed to.
I couldn't watch that when it first came out. My mom won't let me. I snuck over to a friend's house and watched it there instead.
Oh my gosh.
I was an ornery little cuss. And Supergirl came out in 1984. Beverly Hills Cop.
Wow.
Which, if you're a Beverly Hills Cop, we played that song in one of our other segments. But that's coming out, too. There's a new Beverly Hills Cop coming out this year. But that's an anniversary one. And it's a little further back, but I do want to mention a couple movies that are like 45th anniversary. Phantasm and Mad Max. 45 years, believe it or not. That it's very hard to believe.
Wow.
35 years ago, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary. You know what would be fun is if you saw Bill and Ted land in Pet Sematary and they just told the animals to party on, kitties and cats.
Party on. Meow.
Just saying.
Be excellent to each other.
I better stop meowing because Alpha's in the building.
Hey, I'm getting hungry over here. I heard a kitty.
I heard a kitty. So 35 years ago, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade happened. One of my favorite Indianas. I think they could have ended it there, but it's still one of my favorites. I mean, you would think Temple of Doom or, you know, The Lost Ark would be one of them, but mine was always The Last Crusade. I love that movie.
I could see that. Like, that was one of those ones that actually explained the snake's phobia in its own way. And it also had the little bit of history for him pre-everything, like when he was a Boy Scout. Like, I love those opening scenes. And then the ending scenes, well, yeah. He's got the Holy Grail. What are you going to do? You don't get anything better than that.
The father and son dynamic's really good, too.
Yeah.
1989 was a crazy year for anniversaries. And I remember it because I was already driving and going to the drive-ins. And that year, besides The Last Crusade and Pet Sematary, they also had Star Trek V, Ghostbusters 2, Batman 1989.
Bat Dance!
Yep, Karate Kid 2. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I loved that movie as a kid.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, so good. He really did shrink the kids. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation that year.
Really?
Yep.
35 years for that one?
Yeah, and actually, Driving Miss Daisy was 35 years ago. Born on the 4th of July, another one of my favorite movies.
So, wow.
So many great movies.
Yeah, I like... Christmas Vacation is one of those, it didn't start off so well, like people didn't know what to take with it, and now it's so good. But he had Ghostbusters 2, like that one I remember just being fun. A little more cleaner than the first film.
And they definitely saw the marketability to kids of Ghostbusters,
right,
with the cartoon and everything, and so the second movie is a lot more kid-friendly.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very cute, and I love that movie, and believe it or not, 25 years ago was The Matrix, and... We had The Mummy 25 years ago. Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
That's not my bag. And Toy Story 2 came out 25 years ago. I can't believe that. Toy Story 2.
Okay, I have to ask.
You have to ask.
Which one's better, Toy Story or Toy Story 2 to you?
Toy Story 2 all the way. Because I love the throwback to Woody's show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one the best.
I like the collector aspect of it.
I agree. Toy Story 1 was like the introduction, but 2, it set the standard.
Yeah, because Toy Story 1 was, you know, the story of a kid with his toys.
Yeah.
Toy Story 2 was our aspect. Collector's idea, which we're going to have a collector show eventually. So I want everybody to keep listening because soon we're going to start talking about collecting. And once we get started on collecting,
That's like a 5-hour show at that point.
Yeah, that's like a 5-hour show. And I'm not sure how much more time we got left, but I will mention a few more. That 30 years ago was Wyatt Earp, one of my favorites.
Oh, with Kevin Costner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run!
Fantastic. I actually saw that on vacation with my family. We went to the beach, and it was raining. Oh. And so we went to the movies and saw that in the theaters.
What movie was that? I wasn't paying attention. Forrest Gump, yeah.
That had a perfect bookend start and end, too, with the feather. Mm-hmm. Like, it started, like, just perfect, and everything in the middle was just, it was beautiful cake. Like, it just tasted so good watching it.
And 30 years ago, Santa Claus came out, too, which is one of my favorite ones. Santa Claus and Dumb and Dumber.
Another classic.
Yep, Dumb and Dumber, Beverly Hills Cop 3. Keep watching for Beverly Hills Cop. It's coming out, the new one.
Beverly Hills Cop 3 has a cameo that people may not remember. George Lucas.
That was Tony in the basement. He said, George Lucas.
So yep. The new Beverly Hills Cop is going to be on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Which is also where Cobra Kai is.
Yep.
And Karate Kid is an anniversary movie from 1984.
Yes.
Yep.
That is one of my absolute favorite films.
And speaking of Karate Kid, what, you want me to give a karate kick to? Hi-ya! Well, I wouldn't really do that. I'm sorry. Ouch!
As we get ready to roll off, I'll just say that me and Rose got to meet Ralph Macchio one time at a convention.
We did.
Which was really fun. And he was just a cool guy. So he was the best around.
Yeah, and I don't want to even say his name wrong because people are going to be laughing at me. But after Cobra Kai came out, I met the guy that plays Billy. Oh, no. Johnny.
William Zabka.
William. I'm thinking Billy because William. I was at a convention wearing dark helmet, and I wanted him to hit me, and he wouldn't. And I said, please hit me. And he was like, I'm not going to karate chop a girl. So I finally talked him into it. But we're running out of time. So keep tuning in to Retro Talk. And I'm going to get Kevin and Mike back here with me.
See you guys.
Have fun, guys. Rock on. Listening to
Retro Talk with Retro Rose
here on
98.5 WXPM.
Be back next week, same time, same channel.